verse 13 to 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, the context is the tongue in this chapter, but I think we can apply it to most worldly wisdom. It is self-seeking, it says, which means I, myself, the flesh, and that is earthly already. It is earthly, in other words, it is from this world, it is not from above. It is sensual, it is demonic, it is, well, if it is demonic, it is from Satan himself. It is worldly, earthly wisdom. To the book of Romans, for a minute, Romans 1. Verse 20 to 22. Now, this is Paul's writing to the Romans, and he talked about the origin from sin. He said in 22, they professing to be wise, they became fools. There's the opposite, wisdom and foolishness. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Professing to be wise, it's the world, they became fools. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishable, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. For the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the order of God and the wisdom of God, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness of the world and the cross to the world is foolishness to them. And yet to us, it is the power of salvation. Now, in contrast to that, we have the wisdom from above, or godly wisdom. Turn back again to the book of James for a moment. Chapter 3. And we'll see a great difference in verse 17. Chapter 3, 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's a vast difference, isn't it? Day and night. Wisdom that's from above is pure. It is willing to yield. It is full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. Let's take a little closer look at the word wisdom. Proverbs, please, chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. This is the introduction of the book of Proverbs from 1 to 7. Time doesn't allow to read everything that I had planned to read, but I'll read the first few verses, verse 3. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. There's two, both in verse 2 and verse 3, wisdom is mentioned, and yet they are different. Now, I'm not an Hebrew scholar. As a matter of fact, I don't know Hebrew at all. But I can go to my concordance and then I can get some meaning out of some of the words. Wisdom in verse 2 differs, have a different meaning than wisdom in verse 3. In verse 2, it starts to know wisdom. The word wisdom in the Hebrew is chakma, and the meaning is skillfulness. It is the ability to use knowledge rightly. It is the skillfulness of the word. In verse 3, it doesn't say to know wisdom, but it says to receive wisdom. Now, that word is sakal, and it means understanding. It is a word seldom used in Scripture, and it has the force of bereavement or miscarry. It conveys the idea that of learning through the unhappy experience of others or the unhappy experience of oneself. We can learn from our mistake and get wisdom. That is the idea. Wisdom, there's two meanings of the wisdom. Wisdom to know and wisdom to receive. The source of godly wisdom. Job asked the question, where is it to be found? Where does wisdom come from? And that's a good question. Where is it to be found? Let's look at it first, where it is not to be found. Let's go back to Job 28, please. Verse 13. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. So wisdom is not found in the land of the living. Now, where's the land of the living? That's where we are, isn't it? That's the world. That's the earth. It is not found here. As a matter of fact, when you go to verse 21, it says, or 21, it is hidden from the eyes of all living. Not just one, everybody. It is hid from the eyes of all living and concealed even from the birds of the air. So it is not on this side of heaven. It is not on this world, not on the earth. Death and destruction in verse 22 says, well, we have heard of it, a report of it with our ears, but that is as far as that goes. They have heard of it, but they have not found it. They've heard of it. Where then can wisdom be found? Verse 23 of Job, it says, God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heavens. He prepared it, and he searched it out in verse 27. God knows, he understands its ways, and he knows its place. Wisdom is an attribute of God. Colossians 2, verse 1 to 3. We won't, because time is just slipping by, and we won't go with it, but it mentioned that in whom, that is in the Lord Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22 and 24, we won't read it either, but it says right there that Christ, the wisdom of God. Romans 16:27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. So wisdom is an attribute of God. But wisdom also is eternal. It always was. Proverbs 8, please. Turn to Proverbs 8 for a few moments. Verse 22 and 23. Proverbs 8, 22, 23. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I had been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Wisdom is eternal. It always was. And if we went through this chapter, especially in chapter 8, we see the Lord Jesus Christ personified, wisdom personified. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We even can't go into it, but that doesn't study by itself. And it's very, very lovely, too, to do that. Also, wisdom in creation. God had wisdom in creation. Proverbs 28, same chapter, verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. God, or wisdom, was with God from eternity, and it was with God in creation. In Proverbs 3:19, we read, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. And in Psalm 136:5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens. Isaiah write about it. He said, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. Wisdom is found in God and in God alone. He is the only source. And I like to stress that again, because sometimes we try to get wisdom from different angles and different sources. But that is foolishness. Wisdom is to be found in God and God alone. He is the only source. Well, it is one thing to know wisdom. It is another matter how to obtain it. How can I apply it, or how can I get it myself? For in ourselves we do not. In ourselves we do not. I'll say it again. We do not possess wisdom. Yet we all need wisdom from above. As we said, wisdom is from God. In Him I've hidden all the treasures of wisdom. We read it in Colossians 2:3. Wisdom is a gift of God. Wisdom cannot be bought for any price. Go back again to Job 28. Verse 15. And there we read of wisdom, it cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, and so on and so on. It cannot be bought. It cannot be purchased for any price. And that's quite a thing. You cannot buy it. It cannot be bought. It is a gift. In James 1, verse 5 to 6, you can turn to it, or it is a very important verse. James 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom. Well, that's a good question too, isn't it? If anyone of you lacks wisdom, and we all do. I lack wisdom, and I'm sure you lack wisdom. We all lack wisdom. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So, it is a gift. God wants to give it to you. It cannot be bought, but it can be gotten. We have to ask for it in faith, and it says he will supply liberally. Without any restraint, there's all kinds of it, if you want it. Well, we saw the Bible about Solomon, we know that, the wisest man that lived, beside the Lord Jesus, of course. And the Lord told him to ask, and he did. He asked wisdom, and it was given to him. Proverbs 2 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. And it all begins with a little phrase, let the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. We read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. It is mentioned many, many, many times through Scripture, the fear of the Lord. Now, there are two kinds of fear, but we're over time already, and I don't want to And that is very important, but we haven't got the time, so I cannot go into it. But there's the fear that is like terror. That's being really afraid, like terror. And then there is the reverential fear that is mentioned here. That's the fear of the God, of the Lord. Meaning to stand in awe, wonder, adoration. It reveres his holiness. It endeavors in all things to please him. That is the fear of the Lord. Now, I have a question. Do you, and do I, fear the Lord that way? Do we stand in awe and in wonder for him, in reverence? We endeavor to do all things that are pleasing to him. You have to answer that question to yourself, as I have to do that to myself. I read somewhere, it says, the paradoxical Christian. Here it says, the paradoxical Christian, he fears, but he is not afraid. He fears, but he is not afraid. Now, this is not to say it in an ungodly way, but he is not afraid of God. Now, one of the examples of that is Moses. Moses had reverential fear for God, but he was not afraid of God. He would go to God and he talked to him. He talked to him back and forth. That is reverential fear. Augustus Toplady, in his hymn, he said, the terrors of law and of God with me have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hid all my transgressions from view. The terrors of law and the terrors of God with me have nothing to do, because he paid it all. I would like to leave you with a few practical suggestions, what wisdom does, and I'll go to them very quickly. It controls our speech, for one thing. We read that in Proverbs 10:13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. It stores up knowledge, godly knowledge. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is destruction, in Proverbs 10:14. Our wisdom gives good counsel and good judgment. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I'm understanding. I have strength, we read in Proverbs 8:14. Wisdom makes us to know the truth of God's word. Proverbs 22:21 reads, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who sent you. Or as Isaiah put it, that I should know how to speak a word to him who is weary. There's more. I have more down, but I would not leave it at that. I would like to close with first out of Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and one from the Apostle Paul. Proverbs 24. No offense to Len, you, because this is about honey. Len, there's no offense to you. Proverbs 24:13. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet for the taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, make it a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. I'd like to conclude with the words of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches and both, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are past finding out. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Just think of it. God wants to give wisdom to you and to me. Just think about that. He wants to give it to you. When I study this, I thought, what a gracious God who wants to give wisdom to sinners saved by grace, to you and to me. And we have to do is ask for it. Walk in his ways and he will give wisdom. We are a very privileged people. The wisdom of God, it is unsearchable. Yet we can avail ourselves of it. Let's give him thanks. Heavenly Father, we do come to you and we want to thank you again for this opportunity that we had to share your word. We pray that you will bless it. And we thank you that we can rely on it, the truth of it, and that we can get wisdom from you. What a gracious God you are. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, I went over time.